Sringa Bhagavan Ki Jai. This is 2010, the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. And several of our students have gathered from Bombay and Delhi. And all of the wonderful devotees are listening to these tapes around the world. We thought that today we would read the story of the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. That comes from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Hari Bhakti Sudodaya is a section of a larger book called the Naradiya Purana. The Naradiya Purana has about 25,000 shlokas, and this Hari Bhakti Sudodaya has 1,623 shlokas. Hari Bhakti Sudodaya is a very favorite book for devotees of Krishna. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, the classic book of Vaishnava Smriti, Srila Sanatana Goswami quoted a number of shlokas from this Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. And also Rupa Goswami has extensively mentioned it in his immortal work, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj also quotes from this book in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. In great detail, this book illustrates, and we can read it some other time, the Sri Dhruva Charitra, the teachings, the life and teachings of Sri Dhruva Maharaj, and also about Srila Prahlad, Bhakta Prahlad. And it talks about the glories, the Mahima, Tulsi, the Tulsi tree Mahima, and also the Ashwat, or people tree. And of course, this is compiled by Srila Vedavyas. The story, the Prahlad, Bhakta Prahlad Charitra, the Sri Prahlad Charitra, it occurs in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, from chapter 8 until 16. It's about 9 chapters of 100 pages, so it's quite an extensive reading. We'll probably record in sessions, so this will be called The Appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev, Hari Bhakti Sudodaya Part 1, or HBS Roman numeral 1. This is the beginning. As you know, in different kalpas, the Lord and His devotees appear in this world or on some earth planet in the material universe in order to teach the principles of Dharma, especially Hari Bhakti. Sudodhaya means Hari Bhakti Sudodhaya means the rising of the Uday, the rising or the sunrise or the rising of the pure nectar of topics about Lord Hari, Hari Bhakti Sudodhaya. Like we have Radharas Sudaniti. So this is Hari Bhakti Sudodhaya. So let's begin. Sri Prahlad Charitra, the story of Prahlad Maharaj, which occurred in the Padma Kalpa. Sri Narada said, "My dear peaceful Brahmins, please listen to the nectarian glories of Lord Narayan. The Vishnu Purana describes the glorious life of the Param Bhagavat Prahlad during the Varaha Kalpa. And that story was illustrated by the great Muni named Parashara. Bhagavan Sri Vishnu, during each kalpa, performs his same eternal pastimes, nitya-lila, of the respective avatars, along with his respective devotees. Now I, Narada Muni, will narrate the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev and the story of Prahlad as it happened, with, of course, slight variations from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which adds to the interest of this narration, and therefore that's why we're reading it. Let me begin with my Mangalacharana. If one is a human being, he does not use his power of speech to glorify Hari Lila. His tongue is useless. Because he could attain the perfection of human life, but did not do it by using his tongue to glorify the Lord. One who with great rapture listens to or narrates the Hari Lila Amritam attains the perfection of life, without a doubt. Sometimes when devotees hear Hari Lila, they experience sattvic vikars, hair standing end, trembling in tears. And at such time, no impurities or sin can touch that devotee. When a devotee cries tears of love upon hearing Hari Lila, he is free from all the miseries of the material existence, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, and adhidaivaka. O great rishis, now I will narrate the wonderful, glorious life of Sri Prahlad, the Hari Mahabhagavat. Long, long ago in Satyuga, there was a mighty demoniac king named Hiranyakashipu. Just by hearing his name, the demigods felt terrorized. The Munis were so afraid of the tyranny of Hiranyakashipu that he did not perform any yajnas in his kingdom. No one was performing any public yajnas or religious performances during the reign of the demon Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu defeated the god Indra. And when they saw Hiranyakashipu approaching their abodes, the other demigods ran away and abandoned their homes. All the celestials ran to a secluded place for safety, marveling at the unlimited powers of this demon, Hiranyakashipu. He was such a notorious asura, but after he was killed by the claws of Narasimha, he attained Vaikuntha. That is the reward God gives to his exalted devotees only. The jnanis, the monists, they can attain Brahma Sayuja alone. But the demons that are killed by Krishna's hands attain Ishvara Sayuja. But it was a rare case, because Hiranyakashipu, although a demon, attained Parshad Dattva of God. In other words, he returned to his position as the gatekeeper of Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijaya. Sri Prahlad was a staunch Vishnu Bhakta. He was born as Hiranyakashipu's son. When Prahlad was in the womb, he imbibed Hari Bhakti, which he acquired due to the spiritual Sukriti he accumulated during a previous birth. Bhakta Prahlad was growing like a moon, shining forth with his pure devotion to Krishna. From the very childhood, one could easily notice the extreme devotion that he had accumulated from his previous life, his Purva Bhakti Sanskaras. When one chants the divine names of the Lord, he attains perfection. So even the little boy Prahlad began to spread Vishnu Bhakti with the illumination of his own Vishnu Bhakti. So as he grew from his birth, he expanded the glory of Bhakti and his own glories as a Vishnu Bhakta. Hari Bhakti was the very breath of Prahlad, and his very life, every expression was an expression of Hari Bhakti. As a flower emits a sweet fragrance, Prahlad was spreading the sweet fragrance of Hari Bhakti everywhere. As a mother nourishes her child with her breast milk, Prahlad was being nourished with the immortal wisdom of Hari Bhakti. When Prahlad was playing with his friends, even when he made jokes or any talk that he spoke, was always about Krishna and nothing else. That was the very habit of child Prahlad. Well, this is certainly a desirable habit. Even when he was joking, as children often do, he's only a young boy, 4 or 5 years old. And even his jokes were Krishna-centered. No Maya there. Prahlad's face was a looking glass to show the glory of the Hari Bhakti that was hiding within him. One day, when Prahlad returned from school, Haranyakashipu was surrounded by his various queens. He picked up Prahlad with great delight and sat him on his lap. And Haranyakashipu said, "My darling child, you have become a pundit, and your mother is very proud of you. Now, everyone here at the palace, they want to know what is the best thing that you've learned from your teachers in school." Prahlad replied, "I first offer my humble obeisances to Lord Govinda. He is the only worshipful personality, and he is a source of life for everyone." When Prahlad glorified Vishnu, who was his chosen enemy, Haranyakashipu was extremely angry. But he pretended to be very pleased, so he smiled broadly. Then he warmly held Prahlad against his chest and told him, "My son, tell me once again what you have learned, my boy." Then Prahlad, smiling, repeated, "Govinda Krishna, Govinda Krishna, Govinda Krishna, Govinda Krishna." But when Haranyakashipu heard these transcendental vibrations, he thought that something is seriously wrong with Prahlad's teachers. He said, "Prahlad, before I became ruler, no doubt the foolish brahmanas in my kingdom, they used to recite Krishna Nam, but I stopped it. How did you get all these lessons?" Prahlad possessed unlimited tolerance and patience, which are devotional qualities, unlimited tolerance and patience. When he heard this offensive statement from his respected father, he said, "Oh, my dear father, alas, you should not speak so badly. Sri Krishna's name is the most powerful spiritual mantra. If anyone chants this mantra, the names of Krishna, with devotion, he will receive all material and spiritual wealth, and he will get free from material bondage. So therefore, how can anyone think badly about Krishna's name? Krishna's name is the basis and root of all divine sounds. If you chant the name of the Lord, you will become fearless and immortal. If you make an offense against Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if you bathe repeatedly in the Ganga, you cannot get free from that offense. Therefore, my humble suggestion, my dear father, that to remove the offense that you have just made, you should chant 1 lakh of Krishna's names with a devoted heart. Why have you become so ignorant, my father? Just as a wooden form of a female bewilders a man. So nescience has put you in ignorance. When one is covered by ignorance, he does not understand the value of human life. It is only by the mercy and power of Lord Hari that one can even open his eyes or breathe. So if anyone offends him, he will become a victim of his own offense. Because you are my dear father, I care about your spiritual welfare. And you have committed a great offense. But it's not too late. If you take shelter of Lord Hari, who is very merciful, all your sins can be washed off. When Hiranyakashipu heard his son preach to him about Nam Bhajan, he reacted by saying, "You talkative fool, why do you so impudently speak before me?" His eyes reddened with rage and great fury. The demon Hiranyakashipu cried out to his henchmen, "Oh, mighty demons, kill the teachers of my son. They're all hypocrite Brahmins. How can I help my child? Better to destroy them." At once, the servants of Hiranyakashipu went and handcuffed the teachers of Prahlad. The two teachers were brought before Hiranyakashipu to explain their activities. Two Brahmins said, "O Lord of the demigods, O Emperor, may you test us. You have conquered all the worlds with your strength. We are so tiny compared to you. Please, there is no need to show anger toward us." Somehow, Hiranyakashipu cooled down and said, "Fie unto you, Brahmins, you wicked. How have you taught my child about the glories of Vishnu?" The teachers, being chastised by Hiranyakashipu, glanced remorsefully at Prahlad. And then Prahlad, seeing all this, he said, "Father, you should not chastise my preceptors. I was not taught by them about Hari. It is Sri Hari himself, the Lord of all the worlds, who most mercifully enlightened me. Therefore, you should not chastise these innocent brahmanas. And furthermore, whatever teaching that you have, it's also you've received it only by the grace of the Lord." In this universe, there is no jiva who can exist without the inspiration of Sri Hari. Without the inspiration and mercy of God, no one can speak, act, think, drink, or perform any activity. What to speak of breathe? And don't think that this is the opinion of a child. I speak on the authority of the Vedas. Therefore, Father, I ask you once again, please do not pollute your heart with ignorance. Before you were born as a demon, you also worshipped Vishnu with bhakti. Otherwise, you would not attain this exalted position of being emperor of the universe. Indeed, Father, showing your ungratefulness by not devoting yourself to Vishnu, who has given you lordship of the Lord of this world. Of course, it's very difficult to change one's habits. What more can I say to you, Father? Let me continue chanting God's names. It is said, even when one's teacher does not accidentally put his hand in the mouth of a poisonous snake, the pupil should prevent him. I've advised you, but if you consider it impudent, act on my part, an impudent act, then please forgive me. After delivering this message to Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad fell at Dandabats at Hiranyakashipu's feet. Seeing the compassion of his son, Hiranyakashipu ordered his men to remove the handcuffs from Prahlad's teachers. Then Hiranyakashipu said, Prahlad, you are my son, but it does not befit you to be so humble like a Brahmin. Usually Brahmins are devotees of Vishnu. I hope that these Brahmins are not secretly conspiring to teach you about Vishnu Bhakti. Better you abandon these hypocrite idol Brahmanas. You cannot achieve the goal of life by associating with such hypocrites. You can see yourself by associating with these foolish Brahmins. You have totally lost the power of someone born in a mighty demoniac dynasty. Association influences one's own qualities. Therefore, a wise person, in order to preserve the traditions and culture of his dynasty, should only associate with members of his same environment. You fool, Prahlad. Although you were born to me, it was your duty to destroy the supporters of Vishnu. But yet, you yourself have become a Vishnu Bhakta. Do you not feel ashamed of this misdeed? I am the king of the three worlds, and you are my son. How can you consider anyone else worthy of worship? One who rides on the back of an elephant knows that the elephant is under his control. I do hope that because you are a child, you are not aware of your illustrious dynasty. Maybe others have created illusion for you. Now, my darling child, please hear from me about the real philosophy. There is no other person ruling this universe. Only a hero enjoys the world. One who conquers his enemies and makes others beg for his mercy, he is the Lord who should be worshipped by everyone. I am the only person who has attained such a position. Therefore, I have conquered the worlds, and I am the Lord of all the worlds. Of course, there is someone known as Vishnu among the gods, and he is the leader of all the gods. He possesses some type of witchcraft or tantric shakti, like our demoniac tantric named Shambhara. Prahlad, give up your foolishness and be proud of your demoniac blood. You should relish being the son of a lion-like king, and your desire should be to annihilate the entire race of gods. Prahlad listened patiently, folded his hands, and said, Father, as far as you know, you have spoken correctly. There is no doubt you are a hero and the ruler of the three worlds, and you have conquered everyone. I cannot underestimate your power. Because you are the king, there is a certain portion of the power of Vishnu residing within you. But all your power and greatness and kingship is only because you have received the favor of Vishnu, Vishnu Anugraha. Otherwise, no one can have such vast powers. I cannot accept your advice to me that I should give up companionship with holy Brahmins. That is not fair, what you have said. My dear Father, please be patient. One who is covered by ignorance, how can he receive the light of wisdom? One who is trapped in the whirlpool of the samsara, he cannot get out of this ocean of birth and death without taking shelter of enlightened brahmanas. But if one becomes angry and envious and abandons the association of enlightened brahmanas, who are the only source of liberation, he foolishly will destroy the vision of his own eyes. How can any intelligent person give up the blissful association of spiritual Brahmins? My dear Father, Vishnu is all-pervading, and these Brahmins are the personifications of Vishnu's mercy. How can I therefore follow your instruction to give up the association with holy Brahmins? Ghee is made from cow's milk. Brahmins perform yajna with that ghee by offering oblations to Vishnu. Cows and Brahmins should therefore be treated as representatives of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. The sustainer and maintainer of the entire universe is Lord Vishnu, and he resides within the heart of the Brahmin and the cow. Even the demigods depend on the blessings of the cow and the Brahmins to maintain their respective positions as universal rulers. Therefore, the Brahmins are far superior to even the demigods of the celestial worlds. Anyone who is intelligent will certainly offer respects to the Brahmins. The cows and Brahmins are the wheels of the world chariot. The world is moving on these two wheels. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Ja, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Nama. One should worship the Brahmins and cows and carefully seek their blessings, because only by their mercy can the world be sustained. The cows and Brahmins are the benedictors of the entire world. Simply by touching them, seeing them, and glorifying them, one can easily destroy his accumulated sins. If it was not for the existence of holy Brahmins and cows, the accumulated sins of the people would long ago destroy this world. The Brahmins are the panacea of the worldly disease. If one suffering from the samsara surrenders at the feet of a Brahmana, he will once become relieved from material bondage by receiving spiritual knowledge from such an enlightened being. O dear Father, it is only the Brahmanas who have constant darshan of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Those who are not perfect in their sadhana, how can they realize the Supreme Truth? Therefore, if one wants to attain such wisdom, he must surrender to the Brahmins who have realized the truth. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadakshyanti te jnanam gyaninas tatvadarshanaha. When Haranyakashipu heard these words of his son, he became violently angry and so impatient, with a false laugh he said, "What a wonder! Can it ever be possible that a cat offers prayers to a rat, or a peacock offers prayers to its enemy, the snakes? Then how can this child of mine, Prahlad, praise the Brahmanas?" This indicates a very grave danger falling upon my dynasty. My son is to be venerated by everyone, yet those who have surrendered to him are being worshipped by him. "You fool!" Although you have eyes, can't you see my unlimited wealth and prowess? Yet you so foolishly speak about Sri Hari. Like a foolish crow who's living in the grove of mango trees, but he finds his happiness in eating bitter neem fruits. Who is that Vishnu worshipped by the Brahmanas, Prahlad? We feel ashamed to talk of that Vishnu, who you consider your worshipper, Lord. Fie on you. Vishnu does not exist at all. And you're in a hallucination. You're glorifying him. Without threads, you're trying to weave a cloth. Therefore, you have become an insane lunatic. You fool, Prahlad. You're building castles in the air. You're trying to smell a flower which doesn't exist. Don't you understand that Vishnu Puja does not give anything? It's all illusion. But because you're a child, you speak so foolishly and look toward Vishnu. But not us, with all our powerful intelligence. Although we search for him, we can never find this Vishnu. If an intelligent person like me cannot find out this Vishnu, then how can anyone else find him out? Prahlad could not tolerate his father's offenses against Vishnu. Actually, when Hiranyakashipu was speaking, Prahlad put his fingers in his ears to prevent himself from hearing the calumny of his Lord Vishnu. Now he fearlessly spoke to his demoniac father. Father, one who offends Lord Vishnu, who is the witness of everyone, no matter how respectable and powerful he may be, he will be soon silenced. Father, you are covered in ignorance. Many times before, you were covered with bewilderment due to the samsara. Although you are a utopian king, you have totally lost your foresight. Your foolishness does not affect the supreme position of Vishnu. Even the great masters of yoga cannot realize the divinity of the Lord. And how will you be able to know him? He is practically inconceivable. Only the most fortunate people who are endowed with true spiritual knowledge and whose eyes are anointed with devotional insight, they can have a glimpse of Vishnu. Not someone like you who is covered with ignorance. How can you realize anything beyond your senses? No doubt, a pure heart may think of God, but most people's hearts are polluted with anger, lust, and ego. Therefore, with a polluted mind, no one can understand God who is transcendental and supramundane. But those intelligent persons who follow the path of pure devotion, they cleanse their heart of all the impurities and give up all attachment to limited temporary material objects. And then in their purified hearts, they can see Lord Vishnu. When one becomes absorbed in Shuddha Bhakti, then the Lord becomes pleased and makes himself visible before the devotional eyes of his pure devotees. Therefore, how can you ever see him? You who are covered by Maya. Persons whose hearts are full of lust, anger, and malice. If they could easily have darshan of Lord Vishnu, then why do the most intelligent people in this world perform intense austerities and self-denial to try to realize the Lord? It is not so easy. Father, I am not so foolish to say that I have actually realized the Lord. If someone does realize the blissful nature of Vishnu, he will no longer maintain any distinctions between friend and enemy. and be free from the dualities of this world. He attains the perfection of his human life. I desire to follow in the footsteps of such self-realized Vishnu Bhaktas. Although I'm earnestly trying, I do not yet know the Lord. Father, sometimes I feel blessed, surcharged with the presence of the Lord, but then soon it disappears. I will not tell you right now how to attain the Lord, but I should tell you about the obstacles which prevent one from knowing Vishnu. The main obstacle is envy, which definitely blocks one's vision of God. Your heart is full of envy, which is a great obstacle to realizing the divine truth. If a man binds his eyes with a black cloth, can he see anything of the world? It is only when the eye is anointed with spiritual vision that he can see the great jewel of the Lord. The mayic potency creates illusion for all the jivas in the universe. But that rare person who can transcend maya, he can conquer the Lord. One who does not try to attain Vishnu, the all-blissful, easily approached Lord, he will experience all the sufferings of life, and his life is a waste of time. He is to be condemned by everyone, because he loses everything. Hearing these words of his son, Hiranyakashipu began trembling out of anger. He rebuked Prahlad in such a way as if he was throwing thunderbolts at him. It was all an expression of his envy towards Vishnu. That dull-witted demoniac king offered his men to drive out Prahlad. Actually, the result of this driving out of such an exalted devotee would be the cause of diminishing the lifespan and destroying the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. With his terrible anger and quivering lips, Hiranyakashipu looked towards the teachers of Prahlad and said, "You Brahmin animals, leave this place at once. This time I will excuse you. Now go and carefully teach the proper lessons to my son." The Brahmin said, "Thank you for your mercy." So then that Brahmin, seeking to please the demoniac king, became averse to Lord Vishnu. Chapter 9. As time went on, Prahlad became more devoted to Vishnu. And from his teachers, he began to learn different branches of knowledge as he grew into boyhood. Prahlad's devotion to the Lord increased day by day, and he was not bewildered by his adolescent age. During his boyhood, he was imbued with devotion to God. He was always meditating on the Lord. He became very effulgent with divine wisdom. The teachers of Prahlad were extremely afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, they did not teach anything about God to Prahlad. Nevertheless, from within his heart, the Supersoul enlightened Prahlad with divine wisdom. Once again, on another day, the demon king called for his son. Prahlad was not living at home anymore. He was living in the Gurukul. So he had more time to cultivate his devotion and learn all different branches of philosophy by frequenting the library. Prahlad appeared before his father and made obeisances. Hiranyakashipu said, "A fire may hide under ashes. Before, your intelligence was covered. But now I think you've received proper teaching from your preceptors, and your intelligence is shining forth. O Asura, dispenser of the demigods, I'm glad to see the earlier ignorance that you were showing has now been dissipated. When I was myself was growing up, I could understand the stupidity of these Brahmins, so I acquired the proper teachings. Now I see that you've understood your responsibility. Therefore, I want to give you greater responsibilities in ruling over this demoniac kingdom. My dear darling son, your teachers have spoken highly of your expertise in Niti Shastras, ethics and politics. Your education is vast. For an expert ruler, he should observe through the eye, through his both eyes, to observe the enemy. Prahlad replied to his father fearlessly but gently, "O king, your golden words are very pleasing. However, you have not spoken one word in glorification of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Vaishnavas do not value any talk devoid of Vishnu bhakti. Yes, we've learned many lessons. We've attained a lot of expertise in mundane affairs. But any lessons which are about the glories of Hari, Vishnu Mahima, they are truly valuable to extinguish the fire of this illusory world. Those teachings about the glories of Hari can give the highest blessings to the devoted listeners. And when these lessons are given with beautiful, stylish language, the heart will easily welcome them and one can hear with rapt attention. Father, any teachings which lead one to become more entangled in the material world, what good does it serve? What is the use of such knowledge if it makes us averse to God and forgetful of the real function of our souls? Ethics and politics lead to further birth and death. So what good are they? What is the ultimate good? People already have a tendency to enjoy the temporary pleasures. And if someone gives them knowledge to increase that, what good is it? One should look for spiritual knowledge to solve all the problems of existence. My dear father, don't waste your brain indulging in so much politics. As mighty warriors secure the best of weapons, knowledge is the best weapon to cut the knots of material bondage. The Shastras advise us that we should attain wisdom with great enthusiasm, spiritual sadhana to realize Vishnu is the real treasure of life. This universe actually belongs to Lord Vishnu. So nothing else but knowledge which gives realization of Vishnu is valuable. Nothing can exist without the control of Vishnu. Therefore, what else but Vishnu should be the object of our achievement? Why should we endeavor for anything else? To gain worldly wealth, one has to work very hard, and when he loses it, he greatly laments. Do worldly possessions give any permanent happiness? Wife, children, and wealth are so ephemeral, like flashing lightning. We should better hanker after Vishnu Bhakti, because Lord Vishnu is the Lord of all good things. And even so, if someone intelligently serves the Lord, he will gain everything, whatever he requires. But he will not deviate from his path of serving the Lord. My dear Father, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu should be worshipped in one's purified heart. It is the Almighty Lord Vishnu who creates, maintains, and destroys the universe. So how can anyone displease him? Anyone who is intelligent will surrender to that ocean of bliss, Lord Vishnu. Anyone who wants to escape this cycle of birth and death must spend his time hearing about the exploits of Lord Vishnu and then perform devotional service. There is no other way to attain peace and happiness in this life. Although Prahlad's words were full of nectar, it was like throwing water into a burning oil. It simply increased the anger of Aranyakashipu, which rose into violent proportions. As an owl cannot bear sunshine, Aranyakashipu could not bear those enlightening words. He became so angry his eyes were burning red. In a thundering voice he ordered his henchmen, "Immediately kill this wretched boy with dreadful weapons. Let me see how Hari can protect him. Let the fool now know the result of his Vishnu Bhakti. Soon his little body will be a feast for the crows and vultures." Upon hearing from this little child about Hari, my body is burning in flames. For such is impudence of talking of Hari, let him go to the house of death. The servants of Aranyakashipu immediately raised their weapons and attacked Prahlad in an outburst of rage. But Prahlad remained undisturbed, wrapped in his meditation on Narayan. But they mercilessly tortured him and assaulted him. Meanwhile, Prahlad entered into deep contemplation of Lord Hari, and it so happened that none of the weapons could even touch his body. With invisible to everyone else, Lord Vishnu covered Prahlad's body with a shower of nectar from his blissful lotus palm. As a result of this nectar poured over his entire body, Prahlad's body became as strong as a thunderbolt, and all the weapons simply bounced off his steel-like body. All glories to the devotees of Hari. Due to his Hari Bhakti, he was given all protection by the Lord. So rather than hurt him, the weapons that were used to attack him, before they could even touch Prahlad's body, they broke into pieces like sparks and scattered here and there. As ice cannot rest with fire, darkness cannot exist in the presence of the sun, and a snake cannot remain alive before Garuda. Any weapon used against a pure devotee can never harm the body of the pure devotee. What harm could they create to Prahlad? As long as one does not realize Vishnu residing within his heart, he will have to suffer from various diseases and attacks by envious people and harmful planets. If one realizes the Lord, there is nothing more to be gained. One who has attained God realization has conquered everything. As a mighty wind cannot move the almighty Sumeru mountain, those asuras could not torment Prahlad, who was in deep contemplation upon Hari. But rather the weapons, they bounced off Prahlad and they got injured themselves. They were wounded by their own weapons, which bounced back and hit them in return. From his very birth, Aranyakashipu was never afraid of anything. But this was the first time in his life that he became afraid. He was amazed. How could this happen? He became mum, silent. His face was full of fear. He was a very low demon, so he began to think of other ways to kill his son. Therefore, he resorted to various tactics to kill his son. He ordered poisonous snakes to be let loose all around Prahlad so they could bite him freely. Those cobras, king cobras, ran towards Prahlad with raised hoods. And as soon as they poured their dreadful poison by their bites, but Prahlad was wrapped in meditation of Narayan, resting on the back of Garuda. The Lord, in return, poured holy water from his conch shell. And as a result, Prahlad merged in an ocean of bliss. Therefore, the deadly poison could not even touch his body. Seeing the attack of poisonous serpents became futile, it appeared that Krishna was reenacting his Kaliyadamana Leela. Because it may be that Prahlad was meditating on that Kaliyalila of the Lord. These poisonous cobras could not affect the body of Prahlad because his body was turned into amrit or nectar. What happened to the snakes? Rather, all their fangs and poisonous teeth broke and their heads fractured. Suddenly, hundreds of eagles pounced on them from all directions and had a delightful feast. A few snakes remained alive and ran away. This was all a wonderful act of Lord Narayan to protect his pure devotee Prahlad. Those snakes, bleeding, approached Hiranyakashipu and gave a report of all this. And they said, "O worshipable king, you have conquered Indra, but we could not execute your command. We tried altogether to kill him, but we could not. Your son has become invincible. O master, we could even poison the seven oceans of this world with our snake venom. However, we could do nothing to your son. Many of us met death at the hands of eagles. We don't know where all those eagles came from. A few of us ran away, but most of us succumbed to death. But we noticed, we are most surprised, O king, although Prahlad's body was as soft as the petals of a lotus, as soon as we tried to bite him with our sharp fangs, his body became three times harder than a thunderbolt." Hiranyakashipu became bewildered. With great anxiety, he pondered over how Prahlad became so invincible, and he felt somewhat morose. Hiranyakashipu consulted with his ministers, and he was convinced that he could not subdue his son. Therefore, he sent a messenger to convey his sympathy to Prahlad, who was always free from envy. Hiranyakashipu said, "O my darling Prahlad, although you have committed so many offenses and you should be put to death, I cannot punish you like this. I have taken pity upon you and decided to allow you to live happily. To protect or to destroy oneself is depending upon my will. You do not know my unlimited prowess, therefore, as a small child, you have disobeyed me, and you've taken shelter of Hari, who is unknown and invisible. Anyway, let this be forgotten. Now, you give up that enmity. As you know, a king cannot always be merciful. They can very soon be provoked to anger. Please do not provoke me any further while you're living with me. You should not seek favor from our enemy. You should give him up altogether." Prahlad realized the ill motivation of his father, and he replied, You're giving very sweet advice, so I should repeat this in the future. But I feel you're telling me I should leave your enemy. Is there anybody other, any other enemy? Actually, King, think about it for yourself. Is there any other enemy to one than his own lust, anger, and desire? And the six enemies, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Matsarya? These six enemies with their sinful propensity ever stand ready at the gate of one's heart, preventing one from experiencing any freedom or eternal happiness. People controlled by Maya, they submit themselves to lust, anger, and desire, and they're always in forgetfulness of their ever-well-wisher, Shri Hari, who is the eternal presiding deity of their heart. O King, yes, obeying your advice, I totally give them a due. The divine power that is bestowed by Vishnu is the only real strength of oneself, because Vishnu alone is the only maintainer of everyone. One who does not worship Vishnu is the real enemy, and one should not keep any relationship with a non-devotee. My father, I have taken this unshakable vow that in all circumstances I will keep a great distance from all these enemies and never even in my dreams approach them in my heart. I shall by all means take full shelter of Sri Hari, who is my real well-wisher and source of strength. Let your blessings be upon me, so I may be firmly attached to Sri Hari. Now let me answer your statement that Hari does not exist. At first, when I heard you speak like this, I thought it was most offensive. But now I understand the deeper meaning of what you're saying. Actually, besides Vishnu in this universe, nothing can exist. Everything has meaning and purpose. Therefore, Vishnu is to be worshipped by one and all. Can anyone be equal to Vishnu? Therefore, the only duty of everyone in this world is to perform Hari Bhajan. And anyone who does not worship Hari should not be served. Anyone who is free from Maya will take shelter of the name and form of the Lord. But those who are devoid of good intelligence due to the influence of Maya, they will deny the gods and they are subjected to repeated birth and death. Those who are elevated spiritually never worship the material energy. Only one who has a pure heart is a wealthy person. O King, God is limitless, and his form and name are completely transcendental. Anyone who has realized the miseries of this material world will certainly take shelter in God. He is the supersoul of everyone in the Supreme Godhead. He is known as Vishnu. I have taken shelter at his blissful lotus feet. What I have been telling you, my dear father, is the most secret knowledge. In solitude, the greatest yogis contemplate upon the Supreme Godhead. These are very esoteric aspects of the Supreme Truth, therefore I will not speak more. But every foolish thing you have said cannot be withdrawn. The food which is vomited can never be eaten again. If one vibrates the effulgent divine name of Hari, even once, He can remove all his sins. The Lord has name and form, but it's transcendental. Rather, he has thousands of unlimited names, and he enacts his divine pastimes out of his own sweet will. He punishes the wicked and fulfills the desires of his worshippers. One who chants any of the unlimited names of the Lord becomes free from all his offenses. And if one even remembers the Lord, he becomes virtuous. Eventually, the greatest devotees, they can see the dazzling and effulgent form of Lord Narayan in their heart of hearts. People who can remember the Lord and contemplate his divine form, they transcend birth and death. O King, as a foolish crow may fly a long distance, leaving aside an orchard full of ripened fruits, similarly, a man full of envy and stupidity cherishes antagonistic feelings towards the divine name and transcendental form of Sri Hari, who is the only savior of mankind, and thereby such a fool welcomes his own misfortune. You are my father and should be honored by me. I should not use any words that may upset you. Therefore, I will not discuss any further on this subject. O my King, be merciful unto me. Otherwise, I will carry on with my path, and I am prepared to face whatever I may meet. Haranyakashipu replied, Alas, although I, with all affection, I took care of my child, but see how he behaves. It's so painful that he pretends to be an innocent person, but his behavior is so contradictory. Oh, you foolish child, why are you talking uselessly? How do you consider yourself more wise than I am? Are you delirious? Is there some defect in your brain? Are you suffering from a disease? Why are you feeling so deficient that you're looking for favor from Vishnu? As a man without power cannot enjoy urvasi, although you have this golden opportunity being born as my son, why are you so foolishly acting? Why are you so stupidly taking yourself to the path of religion? I am your real well-wisher, but you're taking me to be the opposite. Listen. You are at the prime of your youth. Be happy. Enjoy yourself with youthful enchantresses. There are so many beautiful women waiting to serve you. Give up all this dry, worthless subject of Brahman. Don't waste your life vainly worshipping God. Enjoy your life and be happy. There are many youthful girls full of honey in their breasts will be waiting upon you. They are like she-elephants in heat, just hunting for their mate. Take hold of them. Then you will know where happiness of life rests. Once you are in a company of beautiful women, you will no longer utter Brahman as worshipable. Become fond of hunting, playing games, or the art of music. Then you'll never waste your time trying to learn anything of morality. What I have earned by my own hard labor, vast surpassing the wealth of the heavenly gods, everything is at your disposal so you can enjoy them freely to your heart's content. You fool! Why are you running after a myth, leaving aside the unlimited treasure of your father? What happiness will you derive from Vishnu? Can't you see that even Indra, the king of the gods, is my servant? Then the ministers Haranyakashipu addressed Prahlad. Oh, Yuvaraj, our dear prince, don't you know that when our emperor is happy and extends his kindness, even the gods of heaven feel it a great blessing to them? Even Chandra is subjugated by your father. If he appears them before them, they feel that death is before them. You are so fortunate to be born of such a father who has such prosperity and prowess. Hari is, after all, just one of those demigods who's waiting for the mercy of our emperor, Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, you should not neglect your illustrious father. While listening to all these stupid talks, Prahlad was thinking, I cannot remain silent, but neither does my consciousness allow me to say anything. These are all tests put to me by God to examine my steadfastness of devotion to Hari. Prahlad's musing, Oh my Lord, whenever one does good, obviously he will meet with obstacles. It is a fact. When one performs auspicious acts, he will have to overcome so many difficulties. So that most auspicious activity of Hari Bhajan, how can one perform it without meeting obstacles? Those who are steadfast in devotion, even the well-wisher gods offer them temptresses, or the devils create spells, or even elders advise them to give up the path of devotion. But none of these can sway them from the royal path of bhakti. Such is the power of bhakti. One should naturally expect all these obstacles on the path of bhakti. It is not a surprise. But those who possess spiritual wisdom remain firm and resolute in their determination. And by their pure consciousness, they will overcome all these obstacles and remain steady in their Hari Bhakti. And thus they will attain the perfection of human life. Finally, Prahlad replied, Father, you and your ministers have spoken words which are meaningless. They are childish. Although they appear pleasing, they are most unwholesome to me. If a father is really a well-wisher of his son, he could never advise his son to enjoy life associating with loose women. Should a civilized person speak such words to his son? How could you utter such silly and impudent words to your son? Everyone in this world is being burned in the fire of lust and anger for thirst for material enjoyment. And observing that, I want to be far away from such persons. So how do you advise me to surrender to the fire of lust? You are like a blind man. What can you say? One is really a father or mother or well-wisher who gives spiritual enlightenment and delivers an attached living entity from the hellish life of mundane enjoyment, of temporary pleasures. Those that are fortunate realize that gross material pleasures are full of miseries, and they give up that form of life, and they search for the divine grace of God. This ocean of worldly ocean is full of dangerous sharks and whales. So I've taken shelter of the safe boat of Lord Vishnu. The material enjoyment is ever subject to being lost in time or removed by theft or destruction or apprehension. And it's so difficult. One earns material enjoyment with great labor. Material enjoyment is like a pot full of poison, but on its surface there is a little honey. A man may dig very hard at the base of a mountain and attain a few pieces of glass. O Emperor, among the two-legged animals, you consider yourself very broad-minded and very happy. But the bliss that one derives by devoting himself to the all-blissful Lord Vishnu, is millions of times superior to the illusory happiness you are relishing. One possessing good health and sound mind, if one does not take to the service of God, then how will he concentrate in devotion to God when his body is ill and weak and his mind is feeble in old age? Therefore, before one meets death, which can come at any time, one should take to devotion to Sri Hari, who is the cause of mercy and happiness to the mind. What more can I say in this regard? Father, I humbly request you and your ministers to be pleased upon me. On hearing these ambrosial speeches of Prahlad, Haranyakashipu felt very unhappy and began to shake his head. He lost all discrimination, entered a furious rage, and he called for mighty elephants. Please come and crush down this son of mine. Stamp him under your feet and kill his fool outright. No mercy should be shown to this treacherous person. Although he is my son, he behaves like a notorious enemy, so spare him no mercy. I have already crushed down all those so-called worshippers of Vishnu, and now my enemy, my own son Prahlad, will reap the consequences, and he will join all those dead Vaishnavas. And don't think I am engaging you all for such a small task. A warrior never underestimates his enemy, for his enemy is an enemy after all, no matter how big or small. The elephants felt proud to be ordered by the king, and they all jumped up, their trunks raised in the sky, and rushed towards Prahlad, ready to pounce upon that innocent boy. Now, this is the third attack. Elephants, weapons, and poisonous snakes. Now the elephants are attacking. Each elephant tried to lift Prahlad with their trunks and throw him down on the ground and crush him under their legs. But as elephants cannot lift a mountain, they could not even shake him or even move or budge an inch, because Prahlad was meditating on the heaviest of the heaviest, Lord Narayan, in his heart. Although those wild, ferocious elephants, they could not lift him. They tried to tear him apart with their mighty tusks. But what happened? Their tusks all fell out and broke into pieces. Now their pride was crushed down and they felt exhausted and were bleeding from their mouths. They ran away crying and roaring in all directions. And Hiranyakashipu's heart rumbled with great fear. Next, Hiranyakashipu planned to kill his son. He ordered the demons to throw his son into a blazing fire. Fire was fueled by kilos of ghee. A huge fire. Even the gods of heaven ran away from those flames. Prahlad was in deep meditation of Lord Narayan lying in the ocean of milk. Prahlad could not know anything but Sri Narayan, who was lying in the coils of Anantashesh, floating in the ocean of bliss. Suddenly, from all sides of Prahlad, streams of cooling water were flowing, and all the fires were immediately extinguished. Although the asuras tried repeatedly to light the fires, they could not start any more fires. When Hiranyakashipu heard that even a huge bonfire could not destroy his son, he became crazy and finally drew out his own sword. The Brahmin stood up immediately and said, "Please, put back your sword. My lord, this is your son. He's innocent. He's unaware of your power." And the Brahmins went on to flatter Hiranyakashipu, and they took Prahlad among themselves and tried with all their cleverness to change the mind of Prahlad, who is unshakable in his resolve to worship Vishnu. And nevertheless, he continued to live at the school of the Brahmins, although his mind was absorbed in concentration on Sri Hari. While he was at school, Prahlad was always absorbed in meditating on Lord Narayan. In the outer world, he appeared to be slightly insane. He was indifferent to worldly affairs. He didn't want to hear anything about worldly affairs. He avoided the companionship of worldly-minded people and preferred to live in seclusion. One day, a fellow student met Prahlad in a lonely place, and they asked him, "Oh, Prahlad, your way of life is most attractive to us. Although you are a prince, you are quite indifferent to worldly pleasures. We can understand that you have something special in your heart, something very wonderful, which you are contemplating, and therefore your body was elated with joy. Please speak about your great secret to us. How did you become so unconquerable, even though your father tried to kill you with weapons and snakes and elephants and fire? What is your secret? We're very curious to know it." Out of great affection, Prahlad preached to his friends, "You can see in this world that money, servants, maidservants, relatives, children, wife, they're obviously objects of enjoyment for everyone. But I want you to consider how temporary and ephemeral they all are. You should not aspire after such limited things, but rather reject them from a distance. You can judge yourself that when the jiva is packed up in the womb of his mother, he's really experiencing so much suffering, scorched by the gastric fire of his mother's belly. Remembering the consequences of his previous birth, he laments while he's in the womb." But Prahlad begins to describe to his schoolmates about the suffering in the womb of the mother. "The living entity within the womb of his mother, my dear friends," he's lamenting, "oh, due to my forgetfulness of the blissful Lord Narayan, I am now suffering in this dirty and dreadful womb. Many, many times before I have been born and suffered similarly, and every time due to ignorance that I did not take up spiritual practices. Lying in the womb of my mother, packed up amidst feces and urine and worms, I was beaten and wounded so many times by hungry worms. I experienced terrible agony there. I even fainted because of the pain. I suffered untold agony inside the womb of my mother from contacting the pungent, salty, and burning acidity of the various sour foods that my mother would eat. My whole body was suffering. I was packed up and covered by the intestines of my mother. All of this suffering was due to my forgetfulness of the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Therefore I prayed, 'Oh my Lord Narayan, when I leave this womb and escape this miserable suffering being packed up here, I promise you I will become your exclusive devotee and always worship you and give up all other desires. please release me from this extreme suffering in the womb. I will never act foolishly again. Thus, in the womb of the mother, the fetus, with consciousness appearing at the seventh month, yearns to leave the suffering of the mother's womb. But like a tied-up beast, he cannot fulfill his desire. Thus, praying to the Lord in his tenth month, that baby is suddenly pushed out of the womb. He comes with his head down, breathless, suffering intensely, and all his memory of his former state of consciousness in the womb becomes blotted out as he's cast on the ground amidst blood and urine. He loses all his spiritual consciousness, overcome by the body that he's packed up in. In the seventh month, while in the womb, a jiva may realize the condition of his life. But after he takes his birth, he forgets everything about that realization he had in the womb of his mother. Soon, a jiva becomes overcome by ignorance and loses all of his wisdom. However, one who cultivates spiritual wisdom by associating with pure devotees and studying the sacred scriptures describing the exploits of Krishna, they will become full of bliss and attain the perfection of human life. But anyone who runs after material gains, gold and women, then they lose all their wisdom and succumb to death. A jiva suffers unlimitedly in the womb and also in infancy. And then again in the prime of youth he is tormented by unsatiated lust. And then at old age he suffers more out of frustration. My dear friends, is there even a speck of happiness in this worldly existence? I have told you about the sufferings of the jivas during their childhood. So much mental agony and physical ailments, but he cannot express it because he's not equipped with any expressible words as a baby. So this is the suffering of a baby. Now, in boyhood, he's bathed and fed with food against his willingness. During his boyhood, he wastes his time in playing frivolous sports, thus forgetting the real purpose of life. Then in youth, he's tormented by so much turbulent lust and the other five enemies of the heart, like greed and anger. And he has thousands of mental disturbances to bewilder him. When he becomes a young man, he becomes egoistic and hostile, always looking for fresh enjoyments, trying to quench his thirst for lust, is never satiated by meeting with his young wife, so he always hunts for new ones, and whatever wealth he acquires is never quite enough. Therefore, his wife and his wealth can never make him happy. One who maintains his attachments to his wife and children and wealth has therefore planted the seed of intense melancholy and unhappiness. O sons of the Asuras, one covered in ignorance, surrounded by his wife and children, will meet the same result as when an ignorant man plays with a cobra. Therefore, O sons of the Daityas, to enjoy one's youth does not really make one happy, and the sufferings of old age are unending. Now, my dear sons of the demons, let's come to the conclusion. There is not a drop of peace or happiness in this mundane world. If anyone is intelligent and studies the various affairs of this world, he'll see that the world is full of sorrow and suffering. A A wise man knows that this material world is like a mirage in a desert. It appears beautiful and full of pleasure, but in reality it is an ocean of suffering, sorrow, and melancholy. Therefore, an intelligent person never gives in to gross material enjoyment. As a moth becomes attracted to the glow of the fire and runs into it and instantly dies, one covered in ignorance falls into Maya and succumbs to the hellish samsara cycle of birth and death. Unfortunately, one who is devoid of spiritual wisdom remains illusioned by Maya, chasing ephemeral pleasures. Worship of the lotus feet of Narayan is the real purpose of our human life. The bliss that one attains by worshiping Krishna is unlimited and everlasting. It brings permanent peace and happiness, and one becomes free from all suffering in material existence. Those that are absorbed in mundane affairs cannot appreciate the beauty and bliss of Hari Bhakti. How unfortunate. Oh, sons of the Daityas, thus understanding that this world is full of sorrow and suffering, you should steadfastly take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, and very soon you'll have vision of that supreme truth, and your life will become fruitful and meaningful and rewarded with all success. We're fortunate to have this human form of life, so we should cut this bondage by rendering unalloyed service to the Lord. You should understand that the basis of everything in this world is Vishnu. He is overseeing the entire creation and everything in the universe. You should be very careful and have a very balanced mind. Never fall victim to the dictates of the whimsical and treacherous mind. One who allows his uncontrolled mind to rule his life will always be tormented by thousands of desires and will remain bound in the ocean of Maya. One who realizes that the world cannot exist even for a moment without the mercy of Lord Vishnu should control his mind by pure bhakti and therefore become free from these ignorance of I and mine, and feel the inner bliss of pure devotion. Of course, it's very difficult to control the mind, but without doing so, it is impossible to progress on the spiritual path. The wise sages have presented 5 different methods to control the mind: dhyan, meditation, controlling the breath, observing the mind and how it moves, and restraining it from negative, sinful thoughts. Hear the inner vibration in a peaceful state of mind, and thus see that the mind, do not allow the mind to interact with the external world. O sons of the Daityas, there are 2 worlds, the inner world and the outer or external world. Wife, children, wealth, kingdoms, they're all part of the non-essential, external, temporary world. But dhyan, dharana, and pranayama are the inner world and the positive aspects of life. Oh, my comrades, I once again will advise you, you should always associate with advanced devotees of Vishnu and hear Harikatha from their lips. You should understand that this world is created by God, and you should use it for His service and maintain a friendly attitude toward everyone by always serving the Lord with uninterrupted attention, and very soon you will become free from all miseries. If you cannot attain the association of Krishna's devotees, better you live alone and don't interact with those who are antagonistic to Vishnu. Always respect the brahmanas, the holy devotees of Vishnu. They are the real teachers. You should abandon all feelings and desires to enjoy material comfort and wealth. Never forget the aim of human life in any condition. Always maintain a peaceful mind, even when you meet the worst calamity. Don't allow your mind to dwell in sense pleasures, and always endeavor to realize the supreme truth. Early in the morning during Brahma Muhurta, you should wake up and meditate on the pastimes, the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu. You should deeply meditate and think, who am I? What is this material body? And what is this subtle body? And what are these functions of breathing? What is the reward that I can derive from my senses? What is the difference between God and the jiva? Who is the creator? And what is the purpose of this creation? And who is sustaining it? What is the essence and final lesson of the Vedas? What is my cause of bondage? And how can I attain release from this material world? One who contemplates, sees, speaks, and tastes is known as the transcendental, blissful, omnipresent one. You should go to the exalted devotees of Hari and inquire with these vital questions. You should always contemplate how Vishnu is holding a conch, disc, mace, and lotus in his four lotus hands. Even in your dreams, you should see nothing else but Lord Vishnu. Thus, in your purified mind, you should always contemplate upon the beautiful divine form of Sri Hari. And then, finally, that most compassionate Lord will appear directly before you with his effulgent, blissful form. Those people who follow the path of devotion, my dear friends, will soon attain darshan of the Lord and perfect their human lives. One who serves the Lord with pure devotion will attain the perfection of life and the eternal servitorship of Lord Hari in the spiritual world. The students of Prahlad were very happy to hear his teachings, but some of them became afraid and they reported to the king, "Oh, Emperor, your son is teaching us about Vishnu Dhyan and many other lessons. We are very afraid, so we have come to tell you." Hearing this, Hiranyakashipu again became angry and told his cooks to mix all kinds of poison in his food so that he could poison his son and kill him. This was the fifth attempt of Hiranyakashipu to kill his son. First, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill his son with weapons which broke in pieces and fell back on, killed the demons. Then he sent poisonous cobras to kill him, but their fangs broke off and eagles came and ate up all those snakes. Then the third way he tried to kill his son was by the elephants. The elephants, their tusks crushed and they started bleeding and they ran away from Prahlad. And then he tried to burn up Prahlad. That was the fourth way. But it did not work. He was meditating on the Lord lying in the ocean of milk. And now the fifth, he wants to poison his son. When Prahlad was offered that extremely poisonous food, because he's a devotee of Lord Vishnu, he first offered it to Vishnu. And the Lord at once turned that poison into Amrit. And thus, Lord Hari protected his exalted devotee Prahlad from the effect of that poison. When Hiranyakashipu saw Prahlad eat that poison-contaminated food and nothing happened to him, he became so perturbed. He could not believe that after taking so much poison anyone could survive. He was wonderstruck. He did not understand that he was being protected by the Lord. Then Hiranyakashipu brought some tantric Brahmins to exercise a spell against, or use tantric to kill Prahlad. They took Prahlad to a lonely place and said, "The king has ordered us to kill you. But we are Brahmanas and you are a devotee of our worshipable Lord Narayan." So we hesitated to carry out the order. We firmly believe that all these attempts of the demons to kill you will be ineffective, because you are a true Vaishnava. God himself is protecting you. Therefore, no power in this world can act against you except the curse of the holy Brahmanas. Therefore, the king called upon us to curse you. Now let us advise you. Why don't you contain your Hari Bhakti secretly within your heart? Don't speak out loud to anyone. It's better you should follow your father. If you do not become angry with us, then we may give you another advice for your welfare. Dear Prahlad, listen to our advice. Your father is an enemy of Hari, and you're a young boy depending on your father. Therefore, you should not take up devotion to Sri Hari because you're dependent on your father. Prahlad replied to these perverse Brahmins who were attached to money and their position as the servants of Hiranyakashipu, "Alas, just see the mischievous ways of Maya." Looking towards the sky, Prahlad contemplated for a moment. "I cannot imagine that such words could come from the mouth of a Brahmin. I'm astonished. Oh, respected Brahmins, should one wait until he attains a particular age to start performing Hari Bhajan? What have you learned from studying Vedanta? Your foolish words are nothing but blasphemy, and I cannot tolerate it. Unfortunately, even the learned Brahmanas become puffed up with their vanity, and they run after material wealth. No wonder they're pronouncing such foolish words. A beast whose throat becomes dried up due to extreme thirst, when he gets water to drink, how can he wait anymore without drinking that water? So a man of wisdom who is quite aware of all the sufferings in the material world, how can it be possible for him to restrain from performing Hari Bhajan at every moment? Those who are really devoted to Hari will serve him moment to moment. They shed tears and they lament, "Oh, we wasted our life in vain because we are not able to properly serve Sri Hari wholeheartedly." Oh, respected Brahmanas, only Lord Hari is worshipable. How can I forget him out of fear of others? Is there anybody else in this who can rule over the world except Vishnu? You should know that Vishnu alone is controlling everything, including all the demigods. Vishnu alone is the Lord of all lords. If someone is fearful, he should run to Vishnu for protection. Vishnu is the real father. He is the Lord of the universe. He destroys the demons and protects the virtuous. Due to your ignorance about the power of Hari Bhajan, you've told me to give up Hari Bhajan. Only great souls like Shiva and Brahma, who know the transcendental value of Hari Bhajan, they can give advice on this matter. What mistake have I made, my dear Brahmins? After all I have done is glorify the all-auspicious Lord Narayan. But unfortunately, my father and you have all become angry with me. There is no reason for your anger. Why should I consider Vishnu as an enemy? As a chatika bird lives only on rainwater, these jivas suffering this world can get freedom only by the mercy, quenching their thirst, singing the glories of Hari. Does your advice to me mean that only those who are old and diseased, they should begin the worship of Vishnu? This does not make any sense, because one can die at any moment, and thus our youth will be snatched away before we fulfill our hopes. We have this rare chance of human life. Why should we waste it being tempted by ephemeral pleasures and forego Hari Bhajan? If someone climbs to the top of a ladder and again falls to the ground, he's wasted all his time. A jiva who is healthy and does not perform Hari Bhajan, then how can he have any concentration upon the Lord when he becomes old and feeble? I cannot accept your advice to stop Hari Bhajan. It is very unwholesome advice for me. The tantric Brahmins replied, "All right. Now you will be destroyed instantly by the fire produced by our magic spell." Prahlad replied, "O Brahmanas, do not misuse your acquired treasure by wrong application. You should not try to kill one, because one who is destined to live, nothing can kill him. So you will not be able to destroy one with your misdeeds. Leave aside your destructive tantric magic spells. This is not intelligent." But those Brahmins were contaminated by their pride and their learning. They offered oblations into the fire, and a gigantic figure came out known as Kritya, huge yogic fire demon. So the sixth attempt to kill Krishna was a huge fire demon produced by the tantric yogi named Kritya. He roared, and the constellations were falling down. He was shaking his locks, and the entire three worlds are running hither and thither. He lifted his trident, which was burning like the fire destruction. Wherever he moved his feet, fire broke out and burned everything. The people of Hiranyakashipu's capital were fearful, and they ran to their emperor for relief. Immediately that demon attacked Prahlad with his trident. When that burning trident touched the holy body of Prahlad, it became non-effective. No evil spirit could destroy Prahlad. Thus, Kritya could not use his fire power against Prahlad. Rather, it turned around and rushed towards those brahmanas, and he began to burn them. They began to cry and throw away their burning garments and tried to cut off their hair from their heads. All these tantric brahmins ran to Prahlad crying, "Oh, please, please, oh, glorious boy, please save us. You have more mystic power than us. We foolishly acted against yourself. Now we're killing ourselves." Prahlad felt pity upon them. He folded his palms and prayed to Lord Narayan, "Oh, Almighty Lord, please save these tantric brahmanas from being burnt by the fire demon that they've created from a yogi named Kritya." Petitioned by Prahlad, Narayan bestowed his mercy upon those brahmanas and immediately extinguished that tantric fire named Kritya. Then Hiranyakashipu again met his son, I see, Prahlad, that because you are my son that you have this extraordinary power. And you will gain so much more power in the future if you follow our demoniac tradition and culture. You should understand that these Brahmins I ordered to create the Kritya, I want to do this to show that the prowess of the Asuras is far greater than that of the Vaishnavas. These Vaishnav tantric Brahmins who produced that fire were defeated by your demoniac power. This proves you should live your life according to a perfect demon. The intelligent Prahlad could easily understand the mischief motive of Hiranyakashipu. And he replied, smiling sweetly, Father, why are you playing with me in such a way? You yourself are born in a glorious race. Don't you know that Vishnu is deathless? You should without any doubt know the omnipotency of Lord Vishnu. Knowing me unshakable and fearless due to my Hari Bhakti, you sent snakes and poison, fire, kritya, etc. to kill me. You are glorious, so you should be affectionate toward your son. You are making a joke by telling me to give up my worship of Vishnu. But you have sufficiently advanced in your experience. I'm a mere child. You have taught me a very essential lesson on the path of devotion to Vishnu. Because by sending all those evils to try to kill me, you taught me one important lesson, that one who takes shelter, firm shelter, Lord Vishnu, no evil can touch him at all. Therefore, I found that simply by remembering Vishnu, I could overcome all these deadly evils that you sent. So I'm very determined that I will never give up my devotion to Vishnu. My father, you are deluded by the elusive Maya of Sri Vishnu. Thus, your intelligence is robbed due to your hypocritical and envious heart. You are steeped in ignorance, therefore in delusion you say something as, I am greater than Vishnu. After hearing these advice of his son, Hiranyakashipu, who is seated on his very high throne, he threw Prahlad down on the floor with great force. But because Prahlad was absorbed in thinking of Narayan, he did not feel anything. The air god Vayu personally and proudly caught his body, and he felt blessed to be touched by the holy body of Prahlad. And he was carefully laid on the ground, and Mother Earth felt herself equally blessed to have the touch of such an exalted devotee of Narayan. Mother Earth took a personal form as the goddess Bhumi, and like an affectionate mother, held Prahlad to her breast and said, Oh, darling Prahlad, you are the most blessed soul, and I have personally appeared to have the honor of holding you on my lap. Before your body touched the earth when it was thrown down from so high by your father, I caught you and held you in my arms. The Lord has actually given you all protection. And by dint of my good fortune, I have attained the darshan of such an exalted soul as you. Only by providence can one get the opportunity to meet an advanced devotee of Hari. So Prahlad was thrown off the palace roof, which was hundreds of stories high. But he was caught by Vayu and gently lowered on the ground, and when he landed on the ground, he landed actually in the arms of the personification of the earth named Mother Bhumi. Mother Bhumi is glorifying the Hari Bhaktas. Actually, the entire human race is glorified if there is one pure devotee of Hari like you. Those who see you, Prahlad, or touch you, are so fortunate. Your presence on earth reduces the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. By your personal contact, anyone can wash away their sins and attain a pure heart and realize Lord Vishnu. Your father, Prahlad, is such a fool, he does not realize your unlimited prowess. Even those who simply remember you, Prahlad, they will also become unconquerable. And what more can we say about your invincible prowess? So all of this was done invisibly to anyone else. Mother Bhumi made all her wonderful prayers. So everyone could realize after Krishna, Prahlad survived this, I could understand that he was extremely powerful. Hiranyakashipu was totally dejected. So he called for the great demon, Shambhara. It was a great mystic demon. The demon saw that his master, Hiranyakashipu, was sad, and he said, "My lord, I will finish off this little boy by using my elusive spells. How will your son, Prahlad, be able to stand against me?" Determined to kill Prahlad, Shambhara created an elusive spell. Noticing that spell created by the demon, Prahlad smiled and said, "Oh Shambhara, why have you taken recourse to this tamasic device? Oh demon, why are you creating this elusive spell against me? Because in no time it will be finished by the Vaishnav Maya. Because you have approached me with your envious heart full of anger and pride, none of these can stand before a Vaishnav or divine Maya." Then Prahlad entered into deep meditation upon Lord Hari. With fire-like showers, Shambhara shot tridents, thunderbolts, spears, discus, and many weapons against Prahlad. But those weapons, rather than touching Prahlad, they fell upon Shambhara himself. He found that his own elusive spells were acting upon himself, and he was suffering greatly. He ran away, but wherever he ran, these torments chased him. When Prahlad learned of the suffering of the daitya Shambhara, suffering from his own elusive spells, Prahlad felt compassionate, and he prayed to Lord Narayan to forgive him. At once they found themselves free from the suffering. So this was the eighth attempt to kill Prahlad by Shambhara's elusive spell. The demon Shambhara reported the incident to Hiranyakashipu, who entered a great dilemma. Now he remembered a great demoness named Nishachara, which means one who moves through the night. Late night, Nishant or Nisha Leela means 11:36 at night until 3:36 in the morning. Nishachara, some great demoness. She prayed, "I am the wife of the demon Shoshaka. I am at a loss of my life. My husband met with his death as soon as he entered the body of Prahlad. Being your most obedient servant, my husband, even before you commissioned him as a burning fire, entered the body of Prahlad, intent to burn him outright. But it so happened that as the water drops falling into the burning iron rod get dried up immediately, my husband ceased to exist. My lord, Hiranyakashipu, your son Prahlad has some indestructible power. I do not think he can be destroyed." Hearing this from the demoness Nishachara, Hiranyakashipu became bewildered and unhappy. So then Hiranyakashipu sent Prahlad back to his guru's ashram. But yet Hiranyakashipu could not give up his desire to kill his son. Many of the intelligent ministers advised Hiranyakashipu, "You should accept your powerful son and show your affection." But instead of that, Hiranyakashipu said, "Listen, you should bind my son when he's asleep and tie him with snake ropes and throw him into the deep sea." Well, this is attempt number 9 to tie up the sleeping Prahlad with Nagapash and drown him in the ocean. Seeing Prahlad deeply sleeping, but actually he was meditating, these Rakshasas bound him with a Nagapash. But they did not know that Prahlad was a great devotee of Vishnu who rides on the back of Garuda, the natural enemy of snakes. When Prahlad was thrown into the bottom of the ocean by these asuras, they covered his body with mountains of dirt. They reported the news to Hiranyakashipu that his son was finally dead, drowned under the ocean, bound by their Nagapash, and he would never recover again. As Prahlad was lying in the ocean, the dazzling effulgence emanating from a pure spiritual body of Prahlad prevented all the ferocious animals like crocodiles and sharks from approaching him. Prahlad was so much absorbed in his Vishnu Dhyan, it seemed that he was floating in an ocean of bliss. He did not even know that he was bound by the ropes of a snake and drowned in the ocean. Soon the waves of the ocean cast away all the dirt that was piled on top of the body of Prahlad. And actually, all of those, that tons and tons of dirt was simply resting on the hairs of the body and did not even touch the body of Prahlad. When that earth was removed from the body of Prahlad, his body suddenly floated to the shore of the ocean. The ocean god Varuna personally brought Prahlad to the shore and placed him on the dry beach. And then he presented him some valuable gems as gifts. Knowing the heart of Narayan, Garuda, the eagle carrier, immediately flew there and ate up all those snakes which were binding Prahlad. And then Prahlad returned to the palace of his father. But before he left, Varuna, the ocean god, he prayed to Prahlad, "O glorious Prahlad, I am the ocean god. I have come to receive your blessings. Please bless me with your glance. As the full moon dissipates the darkness of the sky and earth, and the spiritual enlightenment removes ignorance from one's heart, by your very birth you have removed the filth of the Asura race, and now you are shining like a beautiful transcendental gem." As soon as Prahlad heard these words of the great devotee of Hari named Varuna, he opened his eyes and woke from his slumber of deep meditation. He was somewhat astonished seeing Varuna there. He said, "Oh, great celestial god, when did you come here? How did you come here?" Varuna replied, understanding the situation, "Oh, Prahlad, you are a master yogi. You don't know anything about the recent offenses that were committed by the daityas. While you were sleeping, deeply meditating on Vishnu, the demons bound you with Nagapash, threw you in my ocean, and drowned you. But somehow I carried you to the beach. And then Garuda came and ate up all those snakes that were binding you. And now you are free to go. O great devotee of Hari, I pray for the association of such holy devotees as you. Please be merciful upon me. I know that as Vishnu is worshipful, You also are worshipable by me. Therefore, please bestow your mercy upon me. Prahlad, with great respect, accepted all those wonderful words spoken by the god of the ocean and said, O Varunadev, O worshipable god, you are of noble heart and praiseworthy because my Lord Vishnu is lying on your ocean bed. Even after he destroys the whole universe, he remains lying on your ocean bed. How fortunate you are. I myself am always eager to have the darshan of you. And I feel myself blessed to have your darshan. Narada Muni continued his narration of the glories of Prahlad. He said, oh, great Munis who are listening to this Prahlad Charitam. And thus, after meeting with Varunadev, Prahlad offered so many wonderful prayers to his glorious Lord Narayan. He was very desirous to meet the Lord in person, and he felt very restless, suffering the pangs of separation from his beloved Lord. Tears started rolling down from Prahlad's cheeks, and soon he entered a state of devotional samadhi. O Munis, when the all-blissful Lord saw the condition of this devotee Prahlad, he immediately appeared within the purified heart of Prahlad, as well as outside in front of him. Opening his eyes from his trance of devotional samadhi, Prahlad saw the Lord standing before him with his beautiful, blissful face and wide lotus eyes and beautiful form. He was shining with dazzling effulgence. When one once sees the Lord, his senses will not run anything else after anything else of the world because they will become saturated with unlimited spiritual bliss. That true friend of all purified souls lifted Prahlad from the earth and he held him in his lap like an affectionate mother and comforted him with his merciful hands. Lord Narayan spoke to his beloved Prahlad, who opened his eyes and fixed them upon the beauty of the Lord. O my darling Prahlad, there is nothing for you to fear. Be blissful. Realizing he was lying in the lap of Lord Narayan, Prahlad was struck with awe and reverence. He stood up and folded his palms and began to pray, O my Lord, pardon me, please forgive me. Then he fell at the Lord's lotus feet. He was so overwhelmed by divine ecstasy that he forgot to offer any worship to the Lord. But then the Lord mercifully lifted Prahlad from his feet and embraced him again. Prahlad was profusely crying and his hair was standing on end. And the Lord spoke with him, O my darling child, you are my single-minded pure devotee. Why are you showing so much awe and reverence towards me? You can feel close to me. Give up your awe and reverence. All I desire is the pure love of my devotees. One who is my devotee, he may love me freely without showing so much respectful reverence. Although I am always independent, I am controlled by the love of my pure devotees. I am invincible, no one can conquer me, but I become subjugated to the will of my devotees that have unalloyed love for me. One who renounces his father, mother, sons, wife, and dear and near ones, and devotes himself only to me, I belong to him, and he belongs to me. I know nothing other than my devotees, and I am also the be-all and end-all of their lives. I am Atmaram and have no desire to fulfill, but I wish to fulfill the desires of my devotees, so therefore I descend to this world. And whatever you pray for, whatever boon you want, I will fulfill that, my dear Prahlad. folding his palms and fixing his eyes upon the lotus face of the Lord, Prahlad spoke, "O my Lord, I do not crave for any boon. All I want is your blessings and mercy. Your wonderful darshan has drowned me in an ocean of bliss. What more could I want?" "O my Lord, can there be any greater reward or benediction in the whole universe than the blessing of your glorious darshan? Your very sight has fulfilled all my desires. I have nothing more. I desire nothing more. Please only engage me in your unalloyed service." Hearing these words, the blissful Bhagavan Lord Narayan smiled and showered his blessings upon Prahlad. "O my darling child, you are my pure devotee, and after seeing me, you do not desire anything else in this world. As a result, my affection for you knows no bounds. No doubt, you do not crave anything, as your heart is pure and saturated with the bliss of my devotion. Yet my overflowing love prompts me to give you something. Please beg for any type of boon for me." Now again, the second time, Lord Narayan asks for a boon. The first time, responded Prahlad, said, "The boon is your darshan, that's enough, I want nothing else." Now when he's asked for a second boon, he said, "My Lord, I pray for nothing and millions of births. Just let me be a devoted servant like your Garuda." And now he's said the first reward is his darshan and the second reward is his service, life after life. He's not even praying for liberation. Hearing this, the Lord replied, "My affectionate Prahlad, you have conquered my heart. I want to give myself to you. But all you want is my servitorship. This is the great quality of my devotee. All right, let your desire be fulfilled. But still, I pray that you take some other boon." Prahlad said, "Lord Narayan, my master, I have some devotion for your lotus feet. Without your devotion, life is meaningless to me. Oh, alas, if I could have one drop of devotion in my heart for you, then why should you ask for me for any boon? Please bless me that I have steadfast devotion, by attaining which there is no more remaining in my heart. My only prayer, my Lord, is let me have pure devotion at your lotus feet. I do not want anything else. I do not want mukti, and I'm not afraid of suffering in this world. It doesn't matter. I know that one cannot attain devotion without your unreserved grace. So please bless me with unflinching devotion to you." Lord Hari became extremely pleased with his words. "My loving devotee, I will certainly fulfill all your prayers. You are drowned in an ocean of bliss. I cannot bear the separation of not seeing you. Although I am living in the ocean of milk, I am always dwelling in your pure heart. As I live with Lakshmi, I also live in the pure heart of my devotee. In 2 or 3 days, I shall come to the earth to kill your offender. I shall appear on the earth in the form of Lord Nrisinga, because the sinners have become so terrible." Thus saying, Lord Narayan disappeared. Prahlad could see the Lord ascending to the spiritual world, and he felt great pangs of separation from the Lord. Prahlad fell to the earth, rolled on the ground, and cried loudly and swooned. somehow he could compose himself. Suryadev, hearing the glories of this great Prahlad, immediately came to the earth and blessed Prahlad by touching him. And he shone this beautiful sunshine upon Prahlad. The next day, Prahlad woke up from his deep sleep and proceeded from the seashore toward the palace. So this whole episode happened when of his darshan of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu granted darshan to Prahlad after the ninth attempt to kill his son by bounding him with Nagapash ropes, throwing him in the ocean and covering him with a mountain. He survived all that by the mercy of by the mercy of Varunadev and Garuda. And now the Lord, so pleased with Prahlad's purity and steadfastness, the Lord appeared to him and promised, "I will come soon as Nrisimhadev." So all this happened in a trance of samadhi while he's lying on the beach, carried there by Varunadev. He spent the whole night there. And he woke up from this deep sleep and remembering this wonderful experience. Prahlad, feeling great ecstasy, could only see the Lord in all directions. He saw his beloved Lord. He was so much dovetailed and absorbed in Hari Bhakti. He was intoxicated in bliss and was moving down the road like a drunken man. Sometimes he was falling to the ground and stumbling. His body was full of repulsion. He was trembling. Somehow he arrived at the Gurukul. Sometimes he would feel that he was meeting his Lord again, and in great joy Prahlad would shout, "All glories to thee, my Lord!" And again, feeling separation from him, he would begin to cry and run hither and thither. From that time on, after his Sakshat Darshan and hearing and conversation with Lord Narayan, Prahlad became like a madman in a mood of ecstasy, roaming everywhere about, fully absorbed in thoughts of Narayan. Anyone who came in contact with Prahlad Maharaj at that time became imbued with spiritual enlightenment. And he's absorbed in his ecstasy, Prahlad was madly singing or laughing and crying. Anyone who even saw him in this ecstatic time became free from all their sins and endowed with divine devotion. Prahlad was singing, he was wandering about, Prahlad is wandering about in bhava. Hey Govinda, hey Mukunda, hey Keshava, Hari, hey Sri Vallabha, hey Srinidhi, hey Sri Vaikuntha Nath, hey destroyer of the wicked, hey Prabhu, hey omniscient Lord, hey Shuddha, hey Supreme Lord, hey dispenser of the wicked, hey Daval, O deliverer of the universe, may we have steadfast devotion at your lotus feet. Hey Padmanabh, hey Vasudev, hey Vaikuntha Nath, hey Jagadish, hey Jaganivas, hey Garuda Vahana, hey Chaturbhuj, hey Chakrapani, hey Lakshmi Nivas. O Achyuta, thou art the embodiment of transcendental, the fountainhead of all incarnations, the Lord of all Lords. O Sridhar, you lifted up the earth from the bottom of the ocean. Those that are endowed with spiritual wisdom can realize this. O Murari, O Lord, if fallen jiva covered with ignorance, your lotus feet are the only recourse. Prahlad was absorbed in the madness of his prema for the Lord. He was always singing and dancing in ecstasy, glorifying the divine pastimes of the exalted Lord Hari. Wherever he wandered, that Param Bhagavat Prahlad, his very sight brought a change in the minds of the people, and they became free from their sins. As the sun does not exist for its own purpose, but for the benefit of others, Prahlad was existing in this world only for the benefit of others. When Hiranyakashipu heard from his secretaries that his son was still alive, he became struck with wonder. They brought Prahlad before the king. seeing his divine splendor shining in every direction, Hiranyakashipu was disturbed and he became afraid of his own impending death. Prahlad was humble. He offered obeisances before his father and folded his hands. He saw that his father's eyes were extremely red, so he kept his head bent down to avoid looking at him. Hiranyakashipu was furious, the number one demon. He started chastising his son and offending a great devotee of the Lord, and by doing this, he was calling his death very near. He shouted, "You fool, Prahlad, this is my last word, now you listen to me. I am not repeated again." Then he pulled out a sharpened sword, ready to chop off Prahlad's head. Now he shouted, "Either your body will be cut into pieces by my sword, or instantly, either I'll cut you, give up your devotion to Hari, or I will kill you with my sword." Everyone watching thought that with Prahlad was now finished. The Asuras were happy. Others were indifferent. Prahlad remained unperturbed and peaceful. After paying his obeisance, he was going to speak. But from outside the palace, all one could hear was a pitiable lamentation of the people. A devastating fire suddenly broke out, and from all sides, all anyone could hear was cries of, "Ha, mother! Ha, father! Ha, son!" The Asuras were crying and lamenting in all directions. It was so loud that it seemed the shell of the universe was bursting. Hearing all this lamentation of his people crying in fear, Hiranyakashipu was diverted. He ran out of his palace with his sword, and he saw there in the courtyard a gigantic creature who appeared like world-dissolving fire. That creature was so dazzling and brilliant that Hiranyakashipu could not even look at him. He was none other than Lord Nrisingadev, shining with all his divine splendor. At first, Hiranyakashipu could only see a world-devastating fire. Next, he could know him as unseen and unheard of. At last, he understood that it was a lion and a man combined. The light was so effulgent, it was scorching all sides. Shaking the hairs of his mane, he tormented all the corners of the palace like a whirlwind. Just his steps, the earth became shaking like an earthquake was taking place. Hiranyakashipu was thinking, "What is this wonderful, gigantic creature? I never heard or seen such a creature before. Very peculiar. He has half his body is a man and half is a lion. Where does this wonderful creature come from? I've never seen such a thing. Is it that the words of Narada are becoming true? Is this Hari appearing in this wonderful and natural form? It seems that the crafty Hari might have come here to kill me. Maybe he is that same Narayan who killed Madhu and Kaitav. I see that he's also holding a conch and a disc. Anyway, whoever he is, I shall kill him in no time and then destroy all the gods." Thus Hiranyakashipu thought. As he was looking upon Lord Nrisingadev, it amounted to him to be purged out of all his sins of his offenses. But the offenses that he created by offending the devotee of the Lord were not removed. So by having darshan of Lord Nrisingadev, Hiranyakashipu became dissolved of his sins, but not the sin of his Vaishnava aparad. Well, the whole stockpile of his sins from many past births were destroyed. He did so many sins of spoiling virgins and raping others' wives, and sparing their chastity. When he saw the Lord, all that was eliminated and cleansed. The mighty Asura Hiranyakashipu took up a wonderful bow. All his soldiers took up weapons and stood by his side. At once Prahlad could recognize that, yes, this is my worshipful Lord. He recalled the words of the Lord on the beach who spoke about his incarnation. So he fell at the feet of the Lord, since he was a most affectionate, loving devotee of Hari. Through his eyes tinged with devotion, he could realize that Lord Nrisingadev was none other than his Lord Hari, who out of his kindness had bestowed this divine vision, because Hari can never hide himself from his pure devotees. Hiranyakashipu attacked Nrisingadev, and all his armies surrounded the Lord with their chariots and elephants. At the very sight of the Lord, their eyes began burning. They couldn't open their eyes. They couldn't even look at the Lord. So they ran away from the war field. Hari saw the Asura armies at a distance standing for a fight. But Lord Nrisingadev simply laughed at them. The weapons simply fell from the hands of the armies as they were riding on their elephants, horses, or chariots. And they all fell down from that, and their elephants and horses all also fell down dead. All the armies of the Asuras were burned into ashes simply by the glance of Nrisingadev. The very sight of Lord Nrisingadev, the entire city of Hiranyakashipu started burning. Hiranyakashipu, due to Brahma's boon, did not feel any fear seeing the fury of the Lord. Rather, he discharged volleys, arrows against the Lord. The weapons were blown away like straws blown away by a wind. And then he took his Chandrahasa sword and Hiranyakashipu ran towards the invincible Lord. Prahlad begged his father, "Why are you rushing towards the Lord of the universe? How do you dare fight with him who is the savior of the universe? Oh, king, drop your sword and surrender at his lotus feet. He is always kind to the surrendered. He will protect you." Instead of it, following the advice of his sagacious son Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu ran towards Prahlad with the same sword to kill him. In a twinkling of an eye, the Srinadev lifted up Hiranyakashipu, and as a cat pounces upon a rat, he placed Hiranyakashipu on his lap and he tore out his heart with his sharp nails. By offending the devotee of the Lord, the gravest sin that Hiranyakashipu committed by offending Vishnu and his devotees got removed by the very touch of the Lord. O Brahmins, when Hiranyakashipu was looking upon the face of the Lord, he cried out, "Mata! Mata!" Prahlad said to his father, "Father, even now you have not learned a lesson. You're getting this blessed opportunity to be killed by the merciful God, yet you're crying out to your mother, 'Mata, Mata.' When death comes, you should utter 'Govinda, Govinda, Govinda,' but instead you're shouting 'Mata, Mata, Mata.'" Narada Muni, continuing his narration, said, "Somehow or other, Hiranyakashipu, at the time of his death, heard the transcendental name of Govinda from the holy lips of his son Prahlad. And also, he spent his last breath fixing his eyes upon the transcendental face of Lord Hari. And thus, by that darshan and hearing Shuddha Nam of Govinda Nam from his pure devotee son, Hiranyakashipu became free from all sins. Having been slain by the nails of the Lord, Nrisingadev, Hiranyakashipu attained a glorious death because he got mukti. Throughout his whole life, he remembered Hari, although inimically. Nrisingadev tore out Hiranyakashipu's breast, therefore made his heart purified. The demigods were very happy at the destruction of their enemies. But they were afraid to approach the Lord in this most terrible form, Nrisimhadev. Lord Brahma and Shiva approached Lord Nrisimhadev, but even they were afraid to go near the Lord. So they simply stayed in the sky, showering flowers and playing music as a token of their expression of the marvelous act of the Lord. They finally, Brahma, Shiva, and the other demigods descended to the earth, but they remained a long distance from Lord Nrisimhadev, offering their obeisances with folded palms before the gigantic form of Nrisimhadev. The Lord was not very peaceful. His eyes were burning and he was licking his cheeks. So the demigods went to Prahlad and they said, "Please, will you approach the Lord and cool down his anger? You're his affectionate devotee. He'll be very delighted to see you and become peaceful again." Being thus ordered by the Lord, by the demigods, that steadfast, pure devotee of the Lord slowly went before the Lord and said, "Oh, my Lord, please compose yourself." Then, as he cried profuse tears, Prahlad's tears washed the lotus feet of the Lord, and then he fell in dandavats before the feet of the Lord in great rapture. Seeing Prahlad lying at his feet, the Lord at once threw away the body of Hiranyakashipu and very affectionately lifted Prahlad with his blissful hands, just like a father lifting his little child. And Nrisimha made Prahlad sit on his lap. Prahlad asked the Lord to please take notice of the demigods who were standing at some distance with folded palms in a submissive mood. Then Lord Nrisimhadev cast a blissful glance upon the demigods. Now the demigods felt their fear removed, and they gradually approached the Lord with awe and reverence and prayed, "Oh, my Lord, O Jagadish, now by your mercy, the world is again peaceful. Without your mercy, we are beggars. Yet we were very afraid to approach you in this gigantic, fear-inspiring form. How can we look upon this blazing form?" So all the gods and demigods, siddhas, nagas, and munis, they all came and made various prayers to the Lord. And Lord Nrisimhadev bestowed his blessings upon them. And then in the presence of all those demigods and great sages, Lord Nrisimhadev coronated Prahlad as the crowning king. Now with Prahlad in charge, the sages and pious Brahmins again began to offer sacrificial fires for the welfare and peace of the kingdom. Lord Nrisimhadev blessed the gods, rishis, and he profusely poured his blessings upon Prahlad. The heavens showered flowers and there were sweet musical sounds. And all the gods and rishis, they praised Prahlad. Then suddenly Lord Nrisimhadev disappeared from the scene. Everyone, all those maharishis were marveled to see the glorious death of that notorious asura, Hiranyakashipu, which attained such a glorious destination. And they all said, all those rishis said, "Oh, glory to Lord Nrisimhadev. There is no wonder. It's a well-known fact that if one is killed by the Lord, they will go and obtain mukti." Prahlad was dovetailing himself in loving service of the Lord, began to rule the country. But he was not very happy performing all these administrative duties of the king, because his heart was always absorbed in pure devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. Somehow he ruled the kingdom, dedicating everything to the service of God, knowing fully well that the world is created by God with a purpose, and that purpose is that everything and everyone should be engaged in Krishna's service. So the earth became purified by Prahlad's presence, and his very name was the source of purifying one's sins. In due course of time, Sri Prahlad attained Sri Hari. So Narada Muni concluded his narration of the Sri Prahlad Charitra by saying, "O Brahmanas, I have just narrated before you about the supernatural glories of Sri Prahlad, who is born in a family of demons. As the sacred Ganga purifies the three worlds, the Sri Prahlad Charitra, the narration of his pure devotion to Hari, is a very source of purification for the entire world. If anyone facing danger remembers Prahlad's devotion to Hari and how Lord Narayan, the Sringadev, protected him from all difficulties, no danger can ever befall such a person. If one remembers Lord Hari and fixes his heart on him, how can he ever fall into danger? One who hears this wonderful account of Lord Nrisimhadev will attain Vishnuloka after death. One who remembers the Divya Leela of Nrisimhadev will not be affected by the threefold miseries of the material world, and no inimical or bad stars can create harm to him. The divine topics of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which are full of bliss and relished by the advanced devotees, are most delightful to listen to. Can any wise man restrain himself from hearing such divine pastimes of Sri Hari? Sri Prahlad Charitra ki jai. Sri Hari Bhakti Sudodaya ki jai. The divine appearance of Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai. Bhakti Prahlad ki jai.